Well, good evening. It's good to see everyone. I bring you greetings from our brethren in Ashland. I'm looking forward to our time together worshiping our God together. If you would, open your Bibles with me to the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 2. Now, the subject of the book of Ruth is not Ruth at all. The subject of the book of Ruth is all about Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, who is a picture of Christ, our kinsman redeemer. Now, without question, the book of Ruth tells us about the blessings that Ruth received. But the subject of the book is Boaz. The star of the show is Boaz. And that's a very good picture of the gospel. The gospel is not about you and me. The gospel is not about how you and I can get stuff from God. Now, there's no question the Bible or the gospel tells us about the blessings that God's elect receive. But the subject of the gospel, the subject of the whole Bible, is the Lord Jesus Christ, our kinsman redeemer. The gospel is all about the glory of Christ, how that He has accomplished the eternal redemption of His people for them by His grace. And if we understand that truth, we'll understand the answer to the question that I want us to look at this evening. The title of the message is, Why Have I Found Grace in My Eyes? In Ruth chapter 2, verse 10. This is after Ruth met Boaz. She fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger? Now, understanding my need of God's grace. I'm a sinful man. All I can ever do is sin. So understanding my need of God's grace, that will put me in the right place before God. Just like understanding how she needed grace and kindness from Boaz put Ruth in her proper place, understanding my need of God's grace puts me in my proper place before God. And the only thing that can produce true worship is understanding our need of God's grace. That we don't deserve anything from Him but His wrath. Grace produces true heart worship. Because the only way a sinner can ever worship God is when I know I'm not worthy. Like Ruth, I'm a stranger. Stranger to the covenants of promise, an alien from the commonwealth of Israel. I need God's grace. Now, I want to give you five reasons, five answers to Ruth's question, Why have I found grace in thy eyes? And these are the same five reasons that sinners find grace in the eyes of God. Number one is this. Ruth received grace from Boaz because Ruth was a beggar. Look at verse 11 of Ruth chapter 2. And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Now in the law, God provided for the poor people by allowing them to glean in the fields after the harvest. You know, a rich farmer, he's not allowed to pick his fields clean when it came time to harvest. He had to leave some for the poor so they could go by and glean. They could get a little here and a little there and a little there so they'd have enough to eat and they wouldn't starve to death. Now, if the harvesters were going through and they missed a spot, they couldn't go back and get it. They had to leave it for the poor people to glean. If they were harvesting grain or whatever, they were putting it in their bag, whoever it was that they were doing that, and they dropped some on the ground. Well, they weren't allowed to pick it up. They had to leave it there for the poor to glean. Well, Ruth certainly fit that bill. She's poor. She and Naomi didn't have a blooming thing. Both of their husbands are dead and buried back in Moab. They have no one to provide for them. So Ruth is out gleaning in the field so they don't starve to death. And Boaz meets Ruth. He comes in and he meets Ruth. Now he's not telling Ruth, I'm being gracious to you because you're being so kind to your mother-in-law. I'm not being so gracious to you because, Ruth, you've done everything just right. And I'm going to take care of you because that's what you deserve. What he's saying is, Ruth, I'm being gracious to you because you're a beggar who needs grace. That's why. And God Almighty says the same thing to sinners. God is gracious to sinners who come to Him begging for grace. God is gracious to sinners who are spiritually bankrupt. They can't do one thing to please God. They can't do one thing that makes God happy with them. They need someone else to provide everything that God requires of them. Those are the people that come begging for grace, and God always gives it to them. Always. Let me give you a few examples from Scripture. Remember the publican that went up to the temple to pray? He was so weighed down with the guilt of his sin, he wouldn't even look up. And he smote on his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And the Savior himself said, that man went down to his house justified. God was gracious to him because he's a beggar. Remember the Syrophoenician woman whose daughter was so sick? She came and begged the Lord for mercy. Begged him to heal her daughter. And first the Lord ignored her. When he did talk to her, he insulted her. He called her a dog. And she kept begging, didn't she? And all she could tell him was, you're right, Lord, I'm a dog. I just need some crumbs that fall from the master's table. That's all I need. She was begging, wasn't she? You know what Scripture says? Her daughter was healed that very hour. Remember blind Bartimaeus sitting there by the roadside begging on the way out of Jericho, and the Lord passed by. That great city, the Lord came into Jericho, told Zacchaeus, come down. I must abide at your house today. Didn't show mercy to anyone else, not one other soul. Till he's going out of that city, and there sat blind Bartimaeus. And he heard that Jesus was passing by, and he started shouting, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And oh, all the fine, you know, religious people said, Bartimaeus, please, be quiet. We're trying to have a nice processional here, you know. Don't mess up the look of our processional. And he cried the louder, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the cry of that dirty beggar, begging for mercy, stopped the Lord of glory in his tracks. And he called him to him. He said, now what Bartimaeus, what would you have me do? He said, Lord, I might receive my sight. And immediately he did. And followed Jesus in the way. God's merciful. He shows grace to those who are begging for it. Now make no mistake about it. Salvation is of the Lord. You can't think, well, I'm going to come beg for grace. I'm a beggar before God, so God's got to do this for me because I'm begging. No, sir. Salvation's of the Lord. There is absolutely nothing we can do to get God to save us. We can't obligate God to us. We can't make it so He's got to do something for us. We can't do one thing to get God to save us. But we sure can seek the Lord. We sure can't seek the Lord. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. I want to tell you right now, the Lord is near. He promised where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. He's near. Call on Him. Call on Him. Proverbs 8, verse 17. This is the Lord's promise. Those that seek me early shall find me. Do you need grace? Do you need salvation? Do you need mercy? Do you need forgiveness? Well, seek the Lord. He said, if you seek me, you'll find me. In Deuteronomy 4:29, He said, thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, and you'll find Him when you seek Him with all your heart and all your soul. Seek the Lord, and you'll find Him. That's a promise from God. See, here's why God gets the credit in all this thing about Ruth finding grace in the eyes of Boaz. God made Ruth a beggar, didn't He? God made her a beggar. God took everything away from her. He brought her to Israel. He brought her to Bethlehem. And he made her a beggar. So God gets the credit for Ruth being a beggar, doesn't he? God is the one who gets the credit for bringing Ruth to a field outside of Bethlehem that belonged to Boaz. Where is it here in verse 3 of chapter 2? She went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap, she just so happened to light on part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was a near kindred of Elimelech. She just happened to stumble onto a field that belonged to this man named Boaz. Boy, wasn't Ruth lucky. No, sir, she wasn't. She was blessed of God. Almighty God directed her steps to come to that field belonging to this man named Boaz. Now, that's a picture of how God directs the steps of every one of His objects of mercy. He always directs them to the place where they're going to meet the Savior. He makes them a beggar. He makes them realize that they have nothing, that they are nothing, that they need God to do everything for them. And then He brings them to the place where they can meet the Savior. See, God's the one who gets the credit. He's the one that gets the credit for making us mercy beggars. And He's the one that gets the credit for bringing us to Christ. And the recompense and the full reward that Boaz is talking about here for Ruth, it's not a reward of her works. It's not a reward of her merit. It's a reward of Boaz's kindness and grace and mercy. The reward is not reckoned a bit, is it? It's reckoned of grace. The reward is of grace because of the gracious kinsman redeemer, never because of the goodness of the beggar. Number one, Ruth received grace because she was a beggar. Number two, Ruth received grace from Boaz because Boaz is a rich redeemer. Verse 1, chapter 2, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Now it mentions here that Boaz is a kinsman of her husband. He's talking here about the kinsman redeemer. And there are three qualifications for a kinsman redeemer. All three qualifications must be met. And all three qualifications are pictures of Christ, our kinsman redeemer. Number one, the kinsman redeemer had to be related by blood. Well, Boaz was related by blood to Elimelech. He's Ruth's father-in-law. Or Elimelech was Ruth's father-in-law. Boaz was related to him. He's qualified. That's a picture of Christ our Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But He's related to His people by blood because He became a man. He took on Him flesh and bone, bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. Hebrews 2:14 says this, "For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same." He took part. He took on Him flesh so He could be related to His people who are in the flesh. Number two, the kinsman redeemer had to be able to pay the price of redemption. Well, Boaz is able. He's a mighty man of wealth. There's no question he's able to pay the debt. With the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no question He's able to pay the redemption price for our sin. Matter of fact, He's the only one who can. Because He's the only one that's got perfect blood to offer. He's the only one who's able to pay the debt. And He's able. He's able. Well, here's the third thing. The kinsman redeemer had to be willing to pay the debt. I have a dear friend that told me one time, you know, rich people don't tend to get rich by giving money away. This rich man, he's got to be rich. He's got to be related by blood, but he's got to be willing to pay the price. And here's what Ruth and Naomi don't know yet, but they sure would like to find it out. Is he willing? Is he willing? My friends, the question in salvation. Every one of us here has a desperate need of the salvation of our souls. And the question of salvation is not, will we accept Jesus as our personal Savior? That's an insult to Almighty God. The question is not, am I going to allow the King of Glory to enter into my heart and be the King of my life? I mean, come on. The question in salvation is this. Is Christ willing? Is He willing to save an awful wretch like me? That's the question. And I sure would like to find out the answer to it. Because my eternal soul depends upon it. Well, before we get over to the willing part, though, here's what I wanted to focus on right at this second. The point here is this. Sinners find grace in the eyes of our Lord because He's rich in mercy. The storehouses of His grace are inexhaustible. He's a mighty man of wealth. He will never run out of grace for a needy sinner. Because Romans 10 verse 12 says He's rich in grace unto all that call upon Him. He's rich in grace. His precious blood is able to pay the price for your sin and mine. It's able. He's a rich redeemer. Here's the third thing. Ruth received grace from Boaz because Boaz is a gracious redeemer. Verse 4 says, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And he answered them, the Lord bless thee. Now, Boaz is just a gracious man. I mean, here's a rich man, a mighty man of wealth. I mean, this man Boaz is something else. He's a mighty man of wealth, and I'm sure this man, I mean, you talk about tall, dark, and handsome. I mean, this guy's a specimen. I mean, he's riding out there. He's got, his boots are black and shiny. His big white stallion he's riding on. This guy's got a head of hair. I mean, black and curly and just, oh. I mean, he got shoulders as wide as a day is long, riding out on that horse. And normally, fellas like that, they're pretty full of themselves, aren't they? And Boaz rides up to his workers. He said, Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have a boss who greets you in the morning and say, oh, Lord, bless you. And, you know, people typically, you know, kind of jealous of this rich, handsome, you know, guy, you know. The reapers liked Boaz. I mean, he's so gracious. They said, Lord, bless you too. I want the Lord to bless you. He's a gracious man. Well, that's Christ, our kinsman redeemer. He's a gracious redeemer. Grace poured from His lips. Poured freely from His lips. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And it's a good thing. Because it's going to take pure grace and a lot of it to save sinners like you and me, isn't it? He came with grace pouring from His lips. Look how gracious our kinsman redeemer is. Look at verse 8. And Boaz said unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. Neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Boaz tells Ruth, now here's what you do. You watch my maidens, and you go where they go. You go whatever field they go to, you go to that field. You'll be taken care of there. Wherever they go, they're going to my field. You follow them. When you're in one of my fields, you'll be taken care of. And he tells Ruth, don't be afraid of these young men. They're not going to hurt you. They're here to help you. Matter of fact, they'll be your servants. These young men work for me. When you want a drink of water, you just ask them. They'll draw it for you. Now, those servants represent God's preachers. God has commanded His preachers to give the water of life to His people by preaching Christ to them. And He tells His people, now, you watch my people. You watch them. You go where they go. You go where my servant is, and you stay there. You stay there. I'll take care of you there. I'll feed you there. I'll instruct you there. I'll comfort your heart there. I'll save you there by revealing my Son to you there. I'll do it all by the preaching of Christ. You find out where my servant's preaching Christ, and you go there. And you stay there, and don't go anywhere else. Don't go anywhere else looking for any other spiritual blessing, because I provided everything for you in this field. The place where the gospel's preached. Now, we don't deserve that. We don't deserve that. We don't deserve for God to speak to us. We don't deserve for God to send a word of His gospel, the word of His Son to us. But that's what we have. And it's all because of God's grace, isn't it? It's all because of God's grace. All right, here's the fourth thing. Ruth received grace from Boaz because Boaz is the providing redeemer. Verse 14. And Boaz said unto her, mealtime, come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean, even among the sheaves, and reproach her not, don't you shame her. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. Now at lunchtime, here they're all out here working in the day. You know, the poor people, they're there gleaning. They normally just fend it for themselves. But now the farmer, he provides a nice lunch for his harvesters, his workers. But the poor people, now they're on their own. And Boaz told Ruth, now at lunchtime, you come here to my table. Everything's provided for you here. And she came. And can't you just see her, especially the first time she ever came? This is Boaz's table now. She's just this little poor, timid, shy Ruth, and she's coming to the big house. The big table. It's a big house. And here she sits down there because Boaz told her to. She, you know, she's kind of afraid to look up. She's afraid to speak to anybody. She's afraid to reach out and take anything to eat. You know why? She knows I don't belong here. I'm not worthy to be here. One of these things is not like the others, and it's me. I don't belong here. Well, Boaz sees her there. If she sits there like that forever, she's going to go hungry, isn't she? Boaz's not going to have that. Boaz reaches for some food and takes it and gives it to her and says, now take this and eat it. Ruth received grace straight from the hand of the master of the table. And can't you just see that lunchtime? All those workers around there, those people that know Boaz, they've been working in his house and his property for a long time, and they wonder, what is Boaz doing? This is a Moabitess heathen woman. What is he doing? That reminds you of another story. Remember, our Lord came to town one day and sat down. And who always, boy, when He stopped, who always flocked around Him? Publicans and sinners. And the Pharisees looked down their noses and said, this man receiveth sinners. And he eats with them. That's what Boaz is doing. God Almighty calls His children to the dinner table. And He personally takes the message prepared. And He applies it to the hearts of His people. He said, now take this. This is for you. Take this and eat it. Take this to your soul. It'll be good for you. You can't imagine how much I wish I can take what the Lord showed me here of Christ our Savior and just put it in your heart. You just don't know how bad I want that. I'd say every preacher worth his salt does. And we can't do it. But our Savior, takes the word, takes the message prepared in its stumblings and bumblings, and in spite of the preacher, puts it in the hearts of his children. Says, I take this and eat it. Straight from the hand of the Master Himself. What a provider we have. And then Boaz has another commandment to his servants. He says, You men, you leave some handfuls of purpose for Ruth. You just get some of that pure grain that you're harvesting, and you just put a nice little pile there in the road in front of her, so she can just easy pick it up and have something to eat. Make it easy for her to get plenty. This is a gracious provider. Boaz is a gracious man, isn't he? And this is God's commandment to his preachers. Don't try to get the people to be impressed with you. Leave some handfuls of purpose. Leave some handfuls of my purpose for my people. Leave some handfuls of it for my people so it's easy for them to get. Give them handfuls of God's purpose of redemption. Almighty God chose a people to save. They didn't deserve it. They never would have chose Him, but He chose them anyway. He chose to save those people, and He sent His Son who came into this world, and He redeemed them. Lock, stock, and barrel, He redeemed them. And He's going to have every last one of them, and He'll never lose one. That's some handfuls of purpose, isn't it? God's purpose of redemption. Here's the handful of God's purpose in sending His Son into this world. Why did Christ come into this world? He didn't come hoping to save somebody. He didn't come hoping he'd get somebody to feel sorry for him because he's a man of sorrows, and don't you feel sorry for him? It's how much he suffered unjustly. He wasn't hoping to do nothing. He came to save his people from their sin, and he did it. He did it. And all we're doing today is declaring him, saying, there he is. Look at him. That's God. This is handfuls of purpose of why Christ came into this world. There's handfuls of purpose for the people that God saves. He's not going to leave you alone. He makes His people new creatures. He makes them zealous of good works. And they're not going to wander off and get lost. He's the one that's going to lead them. He's the one that's going to guide them. He's the one that's going to teach them. He'll keep and preserve every last one of them. If you haven't yet, you're going to run across a day where you think, I can't do this. And you'll be right, you can't. But our God's going to lead you through it. He's going to carry you through it. That's God's purpose for His people. Now you take a handful of that home with you, and you just feast on it. And here's the reason Boaz gave this commandment. Leave handfuls of purpose here for Ruth. Make it easy for her. You know, the preacher's job is to make it easy for people to digest the Word of God. We're to make it easy for people to take this home with them. Brother Cecil Rhodes used to say, give me something I can put in my lunch bucket tomorrow and take to work with me. Make it easy. You shouldn't have to work hard to sit through a whole message to glean one or two things the preacher said, you know, that are any count. A message of God's grace that's preached correctly gives God's people handfuls of purpose. Handfuls of it. Handfuls of God's purpose and grace that's found in His Son. The gospel is to be preached in clear and simple terms. I can't make you believe Christ. Can't do it. But I tell you what, my job's not to make you believe. My job's not to talk you into belief. My job's not to up here be a salesman. My job is this, to make sure you understand what I'm saying. This is what God says from His Word. Make sure you can understand it. Christ is to be preached in simplicity so that a child can understand it. If we would preach so that a little child can understand what we're saying, the oldest believer will rejoice the most. That's a fact. The gospel is to be preached in clear and simple terms to the weak, to the tired. God's poor sheep have been battered in this world through this week, can come and get some handfuls of purpose. It should be easy picking, shouldn't it? Let me give you some easy pickings. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. It can't get less complicated than that. Are you a sinner? Christ came to save you. If you're a sinner. If you're a sinner, you know what the Savior said? Look and live. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now look. Look. Look in faith. Look believing He's all it takes to save you. Look and live. Are you tired of trying to keep God's law and failing? Are you tired of it? You know what the Savior said? Come unto me and rest. I'll give you rest. It really is that simple. The gospel is eternal. It's vast. It's what it took to save a sinner. But it really is that simple. Look and live. Come unto me, I'll give you rest. And look at verse 17. Here's Ruth's response to that. She gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. It was about enough barley to feed her and Naomi for a week. She got that in a day. The promise of grace from Boaz didn't make Ruth lazy. She didn't say, well, I'm taking the day off, you know. No, she gleaned until evening. And she stayed, she beat out all that grain. It didn't make her lazy. Here's the thing an unbeliever cannot understand about God's grace. God's grace does not make a believer lazy or complacent. God has promised mercy for His people. He's promised it. He's going to do it then, didn't He? But we're still mercy beggars who beg Him for mercy every day. God promised He's going to forgive the sin of His people. And don't we pray every day, Lord, forgive. Forgive my sin. Forgive. This is the way the Lord taught us to. Lord, forgive me. The Lord's promised He will feed His people with His Word. He promised He would. But here, you're all out here tonight, come to glean in God's field, aren't you? We come to the worship service because God promised He's going to bless His Word. We come looking for a Word from God. God's grace never makes His people complacent. Never does. And here's the last thing. Ruth received grace from Boaz because Boaz is the able redeemer. Now remember, the kinsman redeemer, he had to be related by blood to the person who needed to be redeemed. And the closest relative got the right of first refusal. The closest relative had the first opportunity to redeem. Now Boaz was related to Elimelech. But there was one relative more closely related to Elimelech than Boaz, and he had the first right, the first opportunity to redeem Naomi and Ruth. And chapter 4, verse 1, that doesn't call his name. It just calls him such a one. Such a one. He has the right to redeem. I've read somewhere that was recorded this way as an insult to him. He wouldn't, you know the story. He's not going to be able to redeem Ruth and Naomi. This was like an insult. They didn't give his name. Oh, such a one. Boaz calls oh, such a one. Now, he's going to deal with this matter. Chapter 4, verse 3. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi does come again out of the country of Moab, sell the parcel of land which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. If thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I'll redeem it. Now Boaz is an upright man. He wants to redeem Ruth. He wants to marry her, but now if he does it, it's going to be done legally. It's going to be done publicly. He's not going to try to slip one by here, you know. Well, this is a picture of Christ our Savior. The Father gave Him a people. He gave Him those people to redeem, and He loves those people. And He came to redeem them, and He did it legally. He didn't set aside the requirements of the law. No, He did it legally by obeying the law for His people. And He did it publicly. This thing was not done in a corner. I very seriously doubt you would find very many people in this entire planet that have not heard Jesus of Nazareth died on a cross. This is one of the most public things that happened in the history of this world. This thing was not done in a corner. And it was done through the law. That's what Boaz is doing here. And when Boaz told old such a one, now here's his property to be redeemed, such a one thought, that's a bargain. I can get this property for pennies on the dollar. Good deal. I'm going to do it. Now, I don't know this, but I'm just betting this. Ruth, she's smitten with Boaz. By this time, Naomi had told her he's the kinsman redeemer. I mean, she was smitten with this man. She'd come and talk to him, lay down at his feet the night before. She wanted to marry this man. Oh, I'm just sure she snuck close enough she'd listen to these proceedings. Don't you reckon? And she heard such a one say, I'll redeem it. Her heart just sank. I mean, I kind of picture old such a one as a short, ugly guy, you know. She did not want to marry this guy. She wanted to marry Boaz. I mean, this was not a pleasant proposition to her. Look at verse 5. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now Boaz said, now if you buy this property, you have to marry Ruth, the Moabitess. You have to have a son by her and raise up his firstborn is going to be Mahlon's. Give him the inheritance. And old such a one said, I can't do it. I can't do it on those terms. If I do, I'll mar my inheritance. Now, old such a one, he's a picture of God's law. God's law has first claim on you and me because we've broken God's law. And here we're presented in the gospel with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, this mighty man of wealth, this gracious, kind man, and the law. Now, any sinner looks at the law, all they see is ugly old such a one. I don't want anything to do with that. Don't tell me about the law. I can't be married to law. Oh, give me Christ. I don't deserve Him, but give me Christ. But the law's got first claim on us. And the law looks at you and me and says, I can't redeem them. I cannot call them righteous. Because if I do, I'll mar my own inheritance. I'll mar my own character. I can't take them in. The law's holy. If I take them in, their filth will mar me. They'll mar me with the filth of their sin. The law cannot redeem us. Not because there's anything wrong with the law, but because of our sinfulness. But there's one who can. Look at verse 7. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming, concerning changing, for to confirm all things, a man plucked off a shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and all the people, your witnesses this day, that I have bought all that was Elimelech's, and all that was Chilon's, and all that was Mahlon's, of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place, your witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate, the elders said, we're witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephratah, be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. He shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, There is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He's the father of Jesse, the father of David. Isn't that a good love story? Oh, that's the gospel. The gospel's a love story. Boaz bought it all just so he could have Ruth. Christ our Redeemer came to this earth and he bought it all. The Father given into his hand all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. The Redeemer bought it all so he could have the bride that he loved. And the blessing that we see, it's not wealth, it's not health, it's not trinkets of this earth. The blessing we seek is Christ our kinsman Redeemer. He is our life and our joy. The blessing of grace is to be the bride of Christ, the bride of the kinsman Redeemer. And just so he made sure we don't miss that this is a picture of Christ. This is a picture of Christ who's able and willing to save sinners and do it by his grace. The Holy Spirit goes into the New Testament and makes sure you don't miss this now. This story is given to us as a picture of salvation by grace. Ruth of Moabitess, this idolater girl, became the great-grandmother of King David. And Ruth, in the book of Matthew, her name is listed. There's three women listed in the genealogy of our Lord. One of them is Ruth. You know why that is? The Holy Spirit's telling us this is who Christ came. This is who he's identified with. Sinners. Beggars. Who need somebody to do all the saving for them. Christ came to save sinners who found grace in his sight. I sure do want to be one of them. I want you to be one of them. I want me to be one of them. If we found grace in his eyes, we got it all. We got it all. All right. I hope the Lord bless that to you. I appreciate y'all for having me.